I went back home for an entire month, and dude, it was like I kind of see myself as like two separate Vinces. Like,
wow.
There's the Vince who likes to like travel and go, you know, live in the world and live abroad. And then there's like the other Vince that just transforms to like pure LA Vince. You know, before going back to LA, I was like, all right, so I'm still gonna have to work a little bit while I'm there. And I want to take Chinese classes while I'm there so I don't forget. But basically, as soon as I got back to LA, I did not give a shit about Chinese classes at all anymore. And I still had to do work, but like, you know, I was trying to get past that. And basically, yeah, it was like an exhausting, fun month of just doing like pure Vince-ish back home things.
Do you feel like, because I mean, it's, yeah, like when you're in China and stuff, like because I follow you on Instagram, and I think like I can't tell, but it's like you're also living it up in like Beijing and stuff, you know. But then do you feel like when you go back to LA, it's like, does it feel like home? Like, what does it feel like? Like, you've returned to yourself? Or
the living it up levels is like double than it is in Beijing, just because I have more, I have like a lot more friends there.
Uh-huh.
And not to say like I have a dead social life in Beijing, but it's definitely like, it's definitely like maximum Vince, maximum, like, it's like basically I did not have like any time to rest at all for the whole month, which is what I wanted to, because I just wanted to get it all in. And and it made me realize like, wow, like visiting any time, any less than a month would have been crazy.
You mean like if you had gone instead of a month, 3 weeks, like it wouldn't have been as great? Or like,
totally, like basically, yeah. So I was, you know, catching up with my mom and my dad, with like the Trash Pandas. We went to Joshua Tree, which that was amazing. And okay, first of all, the Joshua Tree trip, I actually really see, you know, it's funny how years ago when your mom was saying how she wanted to move out there and we were all like, oh, that sounds horrible, what the hell? You know, and we talked about this before, but she was onto it like 100%. Like, I actually...
She was.
Yeah, like, she knew what she was doing, and I'm glad she did not, like, she did not listen to anyone saying, what are you doing going out there? Like, she went out there, like, I think that's... I kind of have this like personal pact with myself. Like, that's basically where I have to retire. I think I have to, I'm going to end up at the end of everything. I want to end up in the desert like that.
Wow. Okay. It's actually to talk about that. Cause I mean, we've talked about it before, but yeah, when I went to visit her and then I started, like, the thing is now you see everyone's going there, you know? So I felt like she actually, without really consciously knowing, she like pretty much predicted that it was going to be a great place. And like in October, she actually did, they have like an artist community. So they did like an open studio day or something. So like she, like, cause now she built this barn. So she turned it into her studio, and then she had people, visitors come and stuff like that. And I was like, that's so cool that she ended up finding what she wanted to do, you know, like with the rest of her life. Like, she's doing everything that she wants, kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, after seeing all that, I was like, yeah, we were wrong. And I'm glad we were wrong, you know, because it's a really awesome place.
And the art community, they have a huge art community there. And, you know, when you go into the main town, there's a lot of weird, like, fringe communities too. When you visited, did you like stop by like the coffee shops there and like see like the local bulletin boards and like all the weird events they have in the middle of the week?
I didn't look at the bulletin board, but we did go to one coffee shop. It was called like Frontier or something. It was like really big, and I think I was just like just amazed, you know, because I was just like, wow, like they have this, like, I feel like in Switzerland you have to really look for these places, and there it's like the one coffee shop and it's like amazing, you know.
I think I went to Frontier. Is it like really big? It's basically like it's almost like an LA coffee shop, like really big.
It's
really
that one. It's like super spacious, and they have like all this food too. Like, we had lunch there, and they had like couches, and they had like board games. And I think they even have a like, which I'm pretty sure, like, they have this little stage where, like, at night people probably, like, perform and stuff.
Dude.
But,
I went there. Yep. That's the same one. Yeah. Yeah.
You see, that's, like, it's, like, the one coffee shop that everyone goes. Because my mom's, like, oh, well, we're going to take you here because this is the one coffee shop. And it's, like, the best. This is the only coffee shop they need, you know?
It's become, like, our tradition. Well, I don't know. I can't say it's a tradition because I've only, like, gone with, like, the Trash Pandas twice to Joshua Tree. But, like, both times now we've stopped there, like, on the way out of, like, when, you know, we because we're in the park the whole time, then we're going back into the city, and as we're driving back to LA we stop there for like one last meal and grab a beer and a coffee there. Yeah, that was really nice. But let me rewind it back a little bit. So the whole point of this trip, which is like why I went to LA September in the first place too, one of the reasons was we had start for the last several months we've been planning this big like Joshua Tree trip to take all of our bikes and do like a night bike ride on that main road, because it's like the harvest, the autumn moon, so like just ride in complete darkness under the full moon.
Wow.
And yeah, it was a little bit tricky because I think we coordinated like three different vehicles, and you know, some people's bikes were going with other cars because they could fit bikes but not people, and you know, like I gave my bike to like a dude I had never met before, and it was funny. And so like, and then like we yeah, and then you know, we all brought our, you know, we all did tents, so tents everywhere. And yes, and we got this like in jumbo, you know, that have you ever, I think you've, it's a famous part in Joshua Tree, you know, like the jumbo rocks area.
I think so, because they have these big rocks where a lot of rock climbers go and stuff.
Yeah I think most people take photos up there. It's like really nice. It's near Skull Rock.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Basically, yeah, so we all had our tents and we had this whole campground, and dude, we brought so much food. And even like one of my buddies who's he's not going vegan, but he's trying to like live that kind of lifestyle a little bit. He got sick because all we brought was like meat, meat and alcohol and like and junk food, like s'mores and like like I think like
ultimate we had camping food though.
It was, yeah. Like we had like we had like tons of bacon, and we had like steaks and
oh my god,
hot, like a lot of hot dogs. They were making like pancakes in the morning, and lots of coffee, of course, and coffee and beer, a lot of weed, a lot of of course a lot of water too. But I know it was we all had to take note afterwards, like, you know what, like we have to like bring more healthy stuff next time, because I actually even got sick at some point too, because like my body was actually going through some crazy shit adjusting back to like jumping from like eating American food once a week to like eating like Chinese food every day, and then immediately jumping back to like eating American food 7 days a week. And then so like I mean I got sick off pumpkin pie from a diner, so like I was like,
oh wow.
Yeah.
Your body's changed.
It's yeah. I've been back a month now though, so it's coming back to normal. Okay. Or back to China style.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we basically spent the days just like climbing rocks and doing a little bit of bike riding, but it was super hot. And then at night, yeah, we took our bikes out, and dude, the moon lit up the whole desert, which was wild. And we did I think we did about maybe 16 or 20 miles in the desert, and we found this older
at night.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And yeah, we found like this peak. We had this peak someone like marked down. That was like our mission, and we got back. And I could easily say that maybe like Joshua Tree is my favorite national park now. Like I grew up going to Yosemite, but I don't know. I feel like. You know, us that are like from California, we kind of have like somewhat desert souls. There's like a connection to the desert.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and specifically like that kind of desert, like not like African deserts or anything, but like that kind of dry California desert, and like.
Mm-hmm.
I almost.
Yeah, I haven't been to. I still haven't been to Yosemite, but I definitely like, because so when we went. we had 3 days and we kind of drove around, and then my sister took us through the park really quickly. And I think, again, because like now knowing that my mom lives there, there was no rush to like explore everything. But yeah, like it's something about, and also one of my favorite photos I've ever taken, and I actually want to get it printed and hang it up in my apartment, is of the Joshua tree. It was actually from the first time we went, and this is when we went to meet the agent, the real estate agent and stuff. But I took this photo, and I just love it. I put it in the zine, actually, because I just love this photo so much. It just calms me down. I don't know. I like just love staring at the trees, and you know, so
yeah,
yeah.
I know that exact photo in the zine, the one that you're talking about. Yeah.
it's like my favorite photo ever. That I'm like, is it bad that I'm like, my favorite photo in the whole world is this one I took? Not by a famous photographer, but by me.
But I think there definitely is like a kind of calling to the desert, right? Like you kind of feel that draw towards it. And even on like the road trip over there, so one of my favorite podcasts is called the Desert Oracle, and it's like recorded live in like Joshua Tree, and he always talks about ghost stories and like UFO sightings and old like tales, and there's like the Yucca Man sightings. So we listened to that on the way there, and you know, full of shooting stars. And that was just barely my first weekend back in California, so.
Started out with, like, a bang, so.
Yeah. So after that, I got back, and I had 1 week off before I had to, like, do, like, remote work. So some nice things that happened. I got to see my grandfather and grandmother a couple times, and. This was pretty nice because it's from my dad's side of the family, and on that side we have like, this is the Mexican side, so I have a million cousins, and usually I'd only see my grandparents at like big parties, but so these two couple times my dad just called them over, and like we just went out to dinner together, and so which is weird to say at like 32, but it was the first time I was like the only grandchild spending time with them, and wow. Yeah, even my brother wasn't there, and I gotta say, it was really nice just, like, bonding with my grandma and grandpa like that.
Yeah. Aw, I'm happy for you. That's really nice. That's a good feeling.
It was, and even my dad was like, yeah, we can invite some of your cousins if you want, and I was just like, nah.
No! Okay.
I actually did not see, and my cousins, like, two of my cousins lived in the house behind my grandparents, but I did not see them at all, like, even the second visit, we just, after dinner, it was my dad's girlfriend and my grandparents, we just went back to my grandparents' house, and we had coffee, and we just, like, talked in their kitchen for, like, 3 hours, we talked about this on a podcast before, like, this was September, and she already had her whole house decorated for Halloween, it's her favorite holiday.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we would watch horror movies for Christmas growing up, like, that's her whole shtick.
Wow, that's where you get it from.
it is, like, seriously. Like, I remember as a kid, like, she had, like, nothing but, like, a whole wall of, like, VHS tapes, and a lot of them were horror movies. Yeah, I saw a lot of movies that I was probably, you know, below the proper rating for. I spent time with my mom too. It was cool living with my dad. I hadn't actually lived with him for a month. That was interesting. I haven't lived with him since I was a little kid, so that was that was pretty cool. I got really into drinking dad beer. Like, he only drinks Coors Light, so. And I took him around to a couple breweries. Like, there's a brewery in Montebello now where he lives, and that's like the only one. So we went there, and craft beer gets him drunk pretty quickly. He's just not used to it.
Yeah, it's not Coors Light, you know.
Yeah. And outside of that, just catching up with a lot of friends, tons of bike rides. I put my legs through a lot of work after a whole year of not doing any hard rides, which was really good. Yeah, dude, a solid trip back home. It felt really good.
Yeah. Now I'm like, should I do a month back home? Because I've never, that's the thing, I've never really considered it because I was always working full time and the maximum I would take is 3 weeks, which is at the same time is like, it's not too bad and stuff like that. But I think this year I'm a bit sad. I'm both excited because I'm breaking the tradition and I'm staying here for Christmas and I'm starting to feel like, well, I live here now, so I want to find my own new tradition or new thing, you know? But then I do miss, like, one thing I'm really missing is that, like, because holiday season is always when I'm back home and I'm always surrounded by my loved ones and my friends, you know? And now, I mean, I'm starting to make new friends here, but it's different. Like, they all go back to their families, and I don't think it's common. Because growing up, like, for Christmas, like, we always had friends who didn't celebrate Christmas with their families and stuff, so we would always just invite them over to our house, you know? And it was just because it was just like, didn't matter, the more the merrier. But I was like, I don't know if they do that here, because I can't just invite myself. So yeah, so I'm just a bit bummed about that sense. But the only thing I'm excited about is that I want to go sledding and do, like, they have Christmas markets and stuff, so that's like, I'm super excited for that. But then the actual day, I'm almost like nervous, like, oh shit, I'm gonna be like, because Daniel's like, it could just be the two of us. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Only us?
Just us and Spider. Okay. But yeah, but we'll see. But yeah, because I'm just like, I think in the future, if at the moment it's not possible, but it would be really cool if I could do, like, yeah, a month back in LA and stuff one day. That would be really awesome.
I would say the big plus for it, like, is, you know, because, you know, when we were together in Hong Kong, we would always go back maybe about 2 weeks, and there's always that rush just trying to do as many things as possible and get it all in.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And even though, like I just said, like, even I was there for a month and I was like, I actually did not have a whole day. I did not have like one day where I did nothing. There definitely wasn't that rush to like see people. It's like, and like, I'm like one of my best friends who lives in San Diego, we only hung out once, but it was like, oh god, I'm not gonna have a chance to see him. Like, we have a whole month, so whenever you're out of town, we'll just hang out and do something. Like, there was like, there was confidence that I was gonna see most people. Before, when I would visit home for 2 weeks, you know, I couldn't do stuff like go to a baseball game, and I ended up doing that, and that was a big deal. And Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah. Just, yeah. That there was no rush. There was no urgency.
I feel like when you're in a place for a month, it's no longer really just visiting. You kind of like live there for a little bit, because so the maximum I do is 3 weeks, and I've kind of, but because I've been doing it for so long, like going back always 3 weeks, I've kind of gotten it down to this like, okay, so 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks is usually like ticking things off the list, and the last week is like you kind of mentally are, all right, I'm actually ready to go back, I did everything, you know? But it's not really like, but you, it feels like, yeah, I'm like done with this trip, so now I'm ready to go home kind of thing. But I feel like if you had a month, it wouldn't be like a check off list type of thing. It would just be like kind of just living there and staying there. And also now I've also gotten to the thing where I know there's certain people I might not be able to see, or there's certain things I can't do. So I start to eliminate things, you know? And I feel like if you stay for a month, you could do everything, and you can just, you're basically living in LA for a month, not visiting, kind of.
It did end up feeling like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, to the point where it's just like, I was sleeping in my brother's old bedroom, and it just became my room. It became very, became very normal. I'm also very proud that since I hate that side of town, that I did not go to like the West Side once for the whole trip, or like, because I used to work out there and I hated going to that part. Uh-huh. I think the farthest west I went to was, I went out to Arclight and Amoeba in Hollywood. I did not go farther west than that.
Beyond.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, I don't even care about going to the beach. Like, fuck that. I'm not going over there.
Yeah, actually, I never go there because it's so fucking far. And then the only time we went was 2 years ago, and I just want to take to take Daniel because he's. I just want to show him comparison between Santa Monica Pier in real life and in GTA.
GTA.
But normally, yeah, I'm just like, because I go to the beach, I'm like, I'm not going to go in the water. It's like so cold. Like, what's the point?
So, and it's always the same. Yeah. It never changes.
Yeah, it's the same exact thing. I feel like it's one of those things where you could go once and it's always to show someone that they've just to see it. And then, like, I never even go to the amusement park. Like, I just walk through it and I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, get some food and go to Bubba Gump's and, like...
And that's there's like that's the only place to eat there is Bubba Gump's. That's how much Santa Monica yes. is like. Ugh, there's nothing. There's not even a good great place to eat really. Or
yeah.
Amazing bars. Much. Yeah. So one of the pluses was like since I was in Montebello, which is, I guess maybe it's like 20 minutes east of downtown, that all my friends who live on the west side, since I wasn't in Cape Town anymore, they all had to compromise and they meet me like at least in downtown, and it prevented me having to, and you know people hate to cook from the west side hate coming down, but it prevented me from like having to go that far. It's like, hey, I can't go that far. If you want to see me, like I'll go as far as Cape Town. That's about it.
Yeah, that's actually I think that's the furthest I go. K-Town.
Yeah.
To get some Korean food and then...
which is funny. Yeah, I did go down K-Town and one of my old neighbors just saw me like on the crosswalk. He's like, Vince, what are you doing here? Yeah. But yeah, it was a solid trip. I got to go to one show. I bonded with my bicycle a lot. That was the best part.
Yeah, I feel like every post, it was, like, bicycle. Like, are your, like, calves now, like, can you crush things with them? Are they, like, super strong?
I can. I don't, but I confidently say I probably can.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, but that must be, like, because it's, like, something you love to do, right? So you just did what you love for a whole solid month, and...
So after, and then I came back to Beijing, and that's when I kind of, like, I think the entire... like a full month of being nonstop social and, you know, not taking like any me time, it hit me hard, which was perfect. Yeah. And it was perfect because I got back to October and which is like my big movie month. And also my girlfriend's been traveling on business trips. She's an auditor, so she's been flying all over. Like, I've seen her tomorrow, and I've only seen her one other time since coming back. She's just been flying nonstop. So basically, this past October was just me like climbing into my cave and like getting my energy back, and just like watching scary movies every night.
Yeah, because you told me, I think I forgot what's on Instagram or something, but I saw, like, all the movies you watch. I was like, wow. That's a lot of
movies. I think knowing that that was my entire plan for October kept me from, like, becoming, like, socially exhausted when I was in LA, like, going out. I was like, you know what? I could push myself because come October, I ain't doing shit. I'm, like, shutting down everything.
But that's nice too. And now knowing that this was something your grandma, like, this is like a family tradition, you know, that it's really nice. It's nice that you do that. Like, you're keeping it alive, even though it's like part of your life, you know, part of your DNA almost. And
yeah,
I think that's cool.
Yeah. And I think that's why I'm always a little like confused when you know, certain friends say they've never been into horror movies before or they never watched it. I'm like,
by certain friends you mean
moi, among others. and I'm, you know, I think that the go-to movie, everyone's like, oh, I like Hocus Pocus, and I'm like, oh god, which I've actually never seen that one, because I feel like that's like, it's almost like, I feel like Hocus Pocus is always drinking like non-alcoholic beer instead of real beer.
I mean, yeah, I've seen it once when I was a kid. I haven't watched it for a while. Speaking of, so I watched The Fly, And I really loved it, even though, like, I wouldn't say, yeah, it's not 100% horror, but it's, like, I feel like it fit the theme. It was disgusting, you know, it was so gross. And to the point where Daniel was, like, very disturbed, and he now wants to pick the next horror movie next year because he didn't like that I chose this one. But then, ironic, it was really funny because, like, so we went to a Halloween party, and this fly was, like, just sitting on Daniel's collar for an hour. And I was just like, wow, how fitting. It is. It was a good Halloween movie. Yeah.
Did it freak Daniel out? Like, was he, like, totally over flies at that point?
Well, I think when the fly was on him, he was fine with it. Because apparently he, like, saved its life. And then it, like, just clung onto him for a little bit. And then drank it. Oh, he had, like, fake blood on his shirt, so I guess it was eating that. But no, he wasn't. But the movie itself, he was. I mean, it was disgusting, but I still, like, I think, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of Jeff Goldblum films. So for me, that was, like, peak acting I've seen from him. Like, I've never seen him in that role, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so amazed. And I just thought it was, yeah, it was really great. Yeah, the ending was amazing, so. Yeah.
I think one of my favorite scenes ever is when he's looking into the mirror and his fingernails just, like, start coming off. It's so gross, but the makeup is so good. Like, you know, there's, like, the white jizz stuff coming out.
Yeah. I thought, like, I was like, wow, this is, again, 80s, but it was, and you could tell it's kind of, like, the 80s look, but it was so disgusting. It was, like, I was, like, closing my eyes during those scenes because that was how gross it was. And then when he, like, also I found it super educational. Like, now I know how flies eat. And those scenes, too, it was, like, nasty, so nasty. Like, when he would just barf. Like, it was the part where he had his donut and then he, like, just barfed on it and you didn't expect it. Like, oh, my God, that's so gross. And then he just kind of, like, laughs about it, which was made it funnier because he was just like, oh, oops, you know. And, yeah, it was – I really liked it. Enjoyed it a lot. Glad I picked it this year.
The one scene that grosses me out because I like drinking my coffee black is when he's just pouring all that sugar into his coffee. When he initially starts showing, like, fly symptoms.
Yeah.
Jeff, what are you doing? You're ruining your coffee right there. That's awful.
Yeah. And that's when you're like, something's wrong. That was the first sign of, like, what's going on? But yeah.
The plot, I think one plot twist that surprised me, I might even be remembering this incorrectly, you could tell me, is so before the girl was having an affair with her boss, right?
Yes.
And initially, I thought the boss was going to be, like, this kind of, like, controlling douchebag, which he kind of was in the beginning, but he ends up becoming almost a good guy by the end of it. Like, he's trying to fight Jekyll.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it was. I think it was more than an affair. They were, like, living together. I think they were, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, and but then it was her boss, so they would see each other, and he still loved her and stuff, and I think he definitely was an asshole and stuff, but in the end, it was almost like this redemption of, like, he literally got his limbs burned off, and then he saves her and stuff like that. And I think, like, I wouldn't say, like, he became a good guy. I just felt like he redeemed himself. And yeah, that ending, it was a bit scarring. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you guys, and Daniel could listen in on this, like, I'll do some highlights of my horror October. Maybe this could be some possible selections for you guys.
Yes, please, because now I'm like, what are we going to watch next year? So, yeah.
Okay, so if for something that's not so too disturbing in their classics, I watched The Blob. I'm sure you've heard of it before.
Yes. I have no idea what it's about.
It's basically, there's two versions. There's one in the 50s. They're both similar plots, the 50s and then in the 80s, which is darker. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just, in the 50s one, it's like an alien blob. It just, like, lands on Earth and it starts taking over this town. And just starts, if you touch it, it eats you up. And it's just absorbing more things and getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is, it's just like, it's like the most 50s movie you'll ever see. Like, there's like drag racing in it, and there's like you know, the guy's trying to take the girl up to the peak, and she's a good girl, so she doesn't want to go, and like it's all these like 50s movies cliche. It's like a 50s monster movie, but it doesn't. Okay. But like, it's so well made. It doesn't feel slow or boring. It's just it's a fun movie.
Okay.
And then the 80s. So you know like The Thing, right? With Kurt Russell.
Yes.
So that's also a remake of an 80s movie called The Thing from Outer Space. Uh-huh. So the 80s Blob is similar to that, where it's just an updated version, a darker version. And yeah, that one's more fun too. And like there's more brutal death, but it still has an 80s campiness where it's pretty fun. Mm-hmm. So either Blob would be solid choices. They're fun for different reasons. I also watched, this is one I've been meaning to watch my entire life. It's called Hellraiser.
The guy with the needles coming out of his face?
Yes, Pinhead.
Oh, okay.
And I will say, this movie is the closest I've seen as an adult to almost scare me. It's
What? I think I'm gonna get scared then.
Because it is dark, it is disturbing, it is mean. Like, basically, the story is this criminal asshole guy, he finds this like magical box like somewhere in the Middle East, and it basically opens, it sucks him into another dimension where he meets these like interdimensional traveling beings, where it's basically the Pinhead guy and his other people like him. Basically, we're what you call demons, but we are more than that. And basically, they torture him. They like wrap him up in like a lot of S&M type stuff, and they're like ripping his skin off and torturing him. Oh, and like, shit. It's like, he's like, we're gonna show you the pleasures and pain of life and death. And his voice is really deep, and show you things you'll never imagine. And he's basically, they tear his body apart in like brutal ways.
Oh my god.
And then it jumps to the guy's brother, who's a nice guy. And it turns out his fiance, and he's a stepdaughter and a fiance, and his fiance turns out was basically had an affair with the criminal brother, and the criminal brother like found a way to escape like the dimension, and he says, and he's in their attic, he's just hiding in their attic, and he's creeped, it's really disturbing, and he's like, I forgot her name, so I'll just call her Sheila. So he's like, Sheila, like the only way for me to come back like is if you bring me like live flesh so I can absorb it.
What?
And then we could be together. And so basically she starts going to like bars and places and luring men back to their place, and like, and then she leads them up to like their danky attic, and this guy just tears them apart. It's just so scary. It's like, damn, like it's scary. Like, and so like, you know, eventually he wants to get his brother and the stepdaughter, and then you still have the interdimensional beings like around to deal with. Like it's oof. Like I should have watched it. Like, he's up there with like Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers. Like it is an awesome movie. There's like a million sequels. I'll watch those someday, but like the first one was solid.
Okay, cool.
And this one was difficult to go through. I watched all 12 Friday the 13th movies because I just wanted to knock out the whole series finally.
Oh, God. I was like, wow.
And that is hard because a lot of the movies aren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, so if you don't know Friday the 13th, it's mainly about Jason, the hockey mask killer, except in the first movie, his mom is the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and basically all the movies are just trashy fun. Like it's a lot of sex, a lot of nudity, over the top kills, you know, throwing a knife at a wheelchair guy and him rolling backwards. Like, it's really funny, almost. It's just a lot of movies, and I felt very proud that I was able to go through all of them.
Yeah, that deserves some sort of like achievement award or something.
Yeah, So if you ever feel like you want to just go into a Jason movie, I could at least recommend like one or two, which is like, okay, these are the ones you want to watch where you'll get like the best of what this series has to offer, and not like
okay
go into the really bad ones. Mm-hmm. I rewatched the Evil Dead trilogy for the first time. I think last time I watched it was with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those are awesome. Like those are solid. Can never go wrong with those. I also saw. I'm not going through every movie, but this is something I started last year, but I finally finished watching all the Chucky movies.
Oh.
And that would actually be a good one, because I would say that's probably one of the most solid horror franchises. It's just really fun, and he always has one-liners when he kills people. Like, and it's cool, because there's like the first three Chucky movies are like 80s, and they're just horror movies, but they're still kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And then they bring Jennifer Tilly into the series, and it's like the Bride of Chucky movies that came out like early 2000s, and those are like pure horror comedies. And okay. I love them. And then, like, there's two recent ones that came out that were straight to Netflix. And they're kind of mm-hmm. back to horror a little bit. But they kind of, like, mm-hmm. they kind of, like, pull in the mythology in all of them. So, like, it's a really cool universe they've created. And,
okay.
Yeah, I would say those are, you can't go, and it's just, like, there's just, he's just an asshole doll. It's fun.
I think the last time, because I actually saw Chucky when I was like 5, so I didn't like it at all, and I think that's why like I have this fear of dolls and I just hated Chucky. But I think I'm over that now. So yeah, because basically I'm just thinking like I'm trying to like skip around different genres, kind of. So like the year before we watched the Korean zombie movie, which is really cool, and it was made like modern times, you know. And then this year it's like the 80s, so it's like next year I was like, I kind of don't want to do the 80s again, so maybe something in the 90s or 2000s or something, or the yeah, just different, something, you know, different each time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, there's good horror movies for every era.
Yeah.
I think 2 years, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, I was watching mainly modern horror movies with a couple 80s. And then this year it was mainly all 80s. Like, I think the most recent ones was like the newer Chucky sequels, but it's still an 80s franchise.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. And then last weekend I went to a Rocky Horror Picture Show, so that counts. Mm-hmm. And my first live one in a different country. That was amazing. It held up like the ones in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I did not dress in lingerie. I did at least wear my Star Trek uniform, which when I was uh-huh. Halloween this year. And uh-huh. yeah, that was great. And I'm ending Halloween tomorrow, where I'm going to this bar where they're doing like some short horror films by like local filmmakers. And
that's cool.
It is. I'm excited for it. And yeah, so my Halloween stuff is kind of pointed into November a little bit, but mm-hmm. I think this was one of the best Octobers ever. It was. Yeah. How was yours?
Yeah, my Halloween or my October?
whatever you want to dive into.
Okay, well, definitely I guess it ties in, but this October has been a difficult month. I feel like, actually, I realized, like, this year has been a generally hard year. So I think it started, like, with work, like, kind of basically the honeymoon phase was over, and then people just started revealing their true selves, and also this food industry business, it's pretty nuts. Like, it's so unstable. So everyone's really stressed out because their jobs are on the line. And even though, like, I think actually my job is not, but I'm just like, I don't want to work in this environment where everyone's just in panic mode, you know? And so I had extended my internship. So this was actually the first month of the extension for another 6 months. And I had wanted to stay and continue working here, but now I just want to finish the internship and move on and look for something else. And yeah, and I think because of all the stress, because normally I always host a Halloween party, and I really look forward to that. But this year I was just like, it became really stressful to even think about it, because I was like, I'm so tired when I come home. I don't have this energy to, you know, host anything. So I did do minor decorations because I was like, I still need that Halloween feel in my apartment, you know. But then early in the month, a friend that I had invited to my Halloween party last year, she was like, she really enjoyed it. So she's like, oh, I actually want to do one in my place. And I was like, this is perfect because our costumes are here. We're ready to celebrate. We just don't want to like do it ourselves. And yeah, it was really fun. So actually, it was interesting. So I started Halloween day where a friend from work, she brought these things called emberries. And it's basically this, it's a natural berry, but it changes your taste buds basically. So anything that's sour becomes sweet. So I actually thought, wow, this is a great way to start Halloween because you're literally changing your taste buds. So we were like trying these different fruits and stuff. So like eating a lime, and it was like, so first you eat the lime without the berry and it's a lime, it's sour. And then like I tried it with the berry after the berry and it was like so sweet. I ate like 5 limes and it was just like, just, well, so it just felt kind of cool. And then right after that, I get home, I change into my costume. And so this year we wore our AliExpress anime costumes from sales at work, and it was really fun getting dressed up. And then going to the party was really cool because it was my first like all Swiss party, like maybe not my first one, but definitely like it's my second or whatever. And so it was really cool meeting all these like Swiss people and talking to them. I got super drunk, and yeah, it was just nice to kind of do a Halloween that wasn't that I could just like, you know, not care about what was happening, stuff like that. Now Halloween's over. And it's November, but I'm actually I think because of October, like how it was like a bit stressful, I'm relieved. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go into November and yeah, wear brown stuff, brown clothing.
Yeah, I already got like, I bought like 4 flannel shirts to get in the season now and transition.
Yeah, I actually realized, I just thought about the other day. I was like, oh, wow, I have no more plaid shirts. Like, I should get one for November.
You should. Everyone listening should get plaid shirts. Yeah. Come on, it is autumn. Even if here in Beijing, it doesn't like look like traditionally autumn. I still have to rock that look no matter what.
Yeah.
Probably, November, the month of Vince.
Yes. Even I would say October is like pre-month of Vince. It's like prep, like it's like pre-gaming for the month of Vince, right?
It's actually, you know, I mean, there was the summer of Vince, and then September in LA was definitely another month of Vince, and then October. So yeah, I kind of just riding this wave. I'm really excited because the Drums are playing in Beijing right on my birthday.
What? That's like the ultimate, that's like peak Vince-ness.
Dude, it is insane. Yeah. I saw like an email where they have like events happening, and then yep, the Drums in Beijing. I'm like, what the fuck, really? Like these kind of bands never come this far. And then on November 15th, I'm like, oh, I already got the tickets.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's awesome. That's like the best birthday gift ever. I want to get back into making music again. It's something that, yeah, I feel like the last couple months has been, I think another reason why it's been more difficult is because like I'm trying to juggle, like trying to find time to do my hobbies, and I have not been able to, and because like everything's fluctuating and stuff. So actually recently I found a group at work that really love karaoke, and so that's like been like really amazing because it's like, oh my god, I get to go to, the weekend before, I stayed over in Zurich just to go karaokeing. And then next week we're doing it once a month now. And then, so the next one is actually next week, but just to know I have this like solid thing that I love that's happening is really nice. And then, so the other stuff that I'm slowly kind of figuring out, like, okay, what's been missing in my life. And another thing has been music. I haven't had time to do it. And there have been weekends where I'll like invest some time and make a song or just fiddle around and stuff. But one of my goals this year, or like not this year, but just like the next goal I want to do, is actually really teach myself how to play the electric guitar. Like really do it, because I have one and I've just know some chords, you know, but I never invested time to practice because I just get frustrated and just stop. And then I'm actually thinking about like having like getting lessons. Like I don't know if I'll get actual lessons, but like, because I know someone from work who he plays a guitar, used to work at a guitar store. So I've been asking him a lot of questions, and I'm trying to like see if I can arrange like, oh, can you give me some tips in exchange for a beer or something, you know? Because I just feel like, because you can YouTube everything, but I feel like when I learn an instrument or when I learn something, it's so much faster if someone just shows me and looks at what I'm doing wrong and just tells me what's going on, you know, and versus having to find that out on YouTube myself. And I don't like to do that. So, but yeah, that's actually something I really want to do, and see where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah. So like, I think this, these couple months is just like trying to like find my groove again. And also like I've stopped skating, and that's something that was some, I think it was bothering me for a bit, because I just couldn't commit to going to practice anymore. And because it was just the train ride, and basically spending my days on a train is not how I want to spend my time. And then I had some knee pains and stuff. But so now I kind of, I've just been working on their website for the team, which I really like, because I kind of like just being support more from like an admin level of just like being there, but not physically having to be there kind of thing, which is cool. So I think also kind of coming to terms with that, I was like, okay, so now I can, because I was feeling guilty of like all the stuff I want to do, I can't do it because I don't have time, you know? But so it's like what I need to give, something has to go. And I think it was really hard for me to let go of roller derby, but I mean, I'm not like, it's not gone. It's just like, I just stopped skating. But I think for myself, my body and everything, it's probably better. I have been going to the gym, so that's good. And yeah, but I think I want to get back into the more creative stuff again, because I haven't, I haven't been writing. I haven't been doing anything. But now I need to work on my portfolio because I want to get a new job. So that's kind of, that's another thing where I'm like, no, because now there's less time to do fun stuff because I have to do work. But the goal is I'll get a job that pays well, and then I will have time to do all this other stuff. So, yeah.
It's important to keep your hobbies. Like, you know, like I think people, you know, something's wrong in your life if you find yourself bored. And I think you're doing a good job with, you know, making sure like, oh, I love music and I haven't done it in a while. We got to fix that. And I have noticed you have not mentioned karaoke in a while before this, and I'm glad that I mean, if we're talking about vintage things, that is a page-ish thing to the max right there.
Yeah, like I've basically, I think the one highlight at work, the one thing that's getting me going is like, I'm like, I'm meeting people that are actually karaoke enthusiasts, and there's way more bars, karaoke bars in Zurich, and they actually, they do like full-on karaoke. Like, so me and my coworker, we ended up, so you could tell like who's the ones that really love to sing, because it was a group of us, and then me and my friend ended up leaving, and we went to this other bar, and we were the last two in there, like just singing our hearts out and just being with other people who really like singing. You're just like, this is life right now. This is it. And I'm gonna do it again, you know. And I'm just knowing it's like a reoccurring thing, because before it was like, when will I sing again, when will I karaoke again, I don't know, you know. And there was this big void in my life, and now it's like, no, I get this moment, and it's, everything's gonna be okay. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Everything works out, you know. I always say that. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, everything's, it's fine. It's just gonna be fine.
Yeah, we're all gonna die, so.
Yeah, so might as well enjoy it while we're still alive.
We're not dead yet. see, but yeah, when you were talking about like getting back at stuff, I had kind of fallen off some stuff I used to do. This is not really hobbyish, but like, I think for a while I had been drinking a little bit too much. So this was like my first week where like I committed back to again, where I'm like, I'm not drinking any beer at home anymore. Okay. Only on social. And I've actually, maybe because it's getting cold, but I've never done this before, I've been making a lot of tea. Like, I've never been a tea guy. I drink 3 cups of tea today alone.
Wow. Okay.
And you know, I've started the habit this week, like when I get home and I need something to like, you know, kind of like smooth that edge a little bit, instead of having a beer, I just made some tea. And the difference I've been feeling on a daily basis of just like not drinking alcohol every day has been amazing. Like I went out drinking last night, 'cause it was Friday. and I felt the difference immediately. Where this morning I felt so shitty. But I like being constantly hydrated. It's definitely making me feel better, both like mentally and physically.
Okay, maybe I should get, because I've never been a tea drinker as well. I just drink coffee or water, and I also have been going on these like drinking like binges, basically. So like last weekend, the karaoke was also payday, so I went nuts, and then the Halloween party I went all out to, because also I took a day off on Friday because I knew I wanted to for my recovery, which is kind of bad because I knew I had this recovery day, so I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go all out. And then on Friday, I woke up at like 2 p.m. and then I was feeling like horrible, and then just kind of like surviving throughout the day, and I ended up falling back asleep and waking up at 6 and feeling rested and stuff, and didn't do anything yesterday, which is nice. But I was kind of like, huh, maybe I should like take it down a notch. And so next week for karaoke, also because I don't want it to be like, because for me, karaoke was never also about drinking. It was just like that night it was payday, so I was like, yeah, let's do it. But I'm like, I don't need to get super wasted. I don't want to get super wasted. And I don't, now that it's not payday, I'm not going to have that much money anyway. So I should like just kind of tone it down, you know? And also, yeah, I'm not getting any younger. So God knows what's going on in my body at the moment. So yeah.
Yeah, dude, tell me about it. Like when you were having your like karaoke rager, like that same weekend, was that last Saturday? I think I was out. It was a Rocky Horror night. I was out until like 5:30 in the morning. And I think the next day was like I needed to eat so much just to like feel better, and I was like, all right, I gotta stop drinking now. Like this is I gotta make a change. Like this, I'm feeling so messed up today. It's that began like day zero of no more drinking at home.
Yeah, like I feel like for me, once a month is not bad, but like now it's been consecutive weekends where I'm like, okay, it was Halloween, so that's an excuse.
Yeah, oh no, it's Halloween. I mean, come on, yeah, it's the devil's birthday. We have to do it.
Yeah, like we have to get a bit, you know, going a bit nuts, you know. But like, I'm like, okay, but next weekend karaoke is gonna be just mild, just get a bit, little buzz, you know, one drink and call it evening, so I could wake up the next day and feel pretty good. And yeah. Yeah.
And okay, I actually did not mention this earlier, but okay, I know another reason why I decided to cut back is I've been starting to get a little bit of a beer belly. And you know, as a guy who's 30, mm-hmm. 32 years old, that never used to happen that much before. So So I will also say, week one of just not drinking at home every day, there's been a noticeable like difference in like just being able to like move faster and wear my jeans are immediately fitting better. I'm just tea is the way to go. I'm loving my tea.
tea all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, China is a great country for tea too. So
That's true.
It's very high quality options.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I didn't think, because actually I don't drink beer anymore because of just, it makes me feel like shit. So now I'm like, just give me the liquor, just straight up.
Give me the straight stuff.
You know? Yeah. So, which is fun, but also like, yeah.
All right. I think we got a podcast.
Yeah.
Our first episode with our brand new cover art.
Lovely by Vince.
Yes. We've updated it. We've updated it for, you know, we have a new decade starting in a couple months. So, you know, it's time to bring it up to date a little bit.
Yeah. And then I think what I like about it is that it's very easily, we can recreate it easily. And I think it should be recreated every time we meet up. So just the picture, you know?
Yeah, switch the picture. And you know, yeah. I loved Spider in the old one, but I was definitely over the the Pepto-Bismol pink that I originally used back in the day. I was ready to, I liked it when we first started, when I initially put that on, but afterward, I was like ready to take that out now.
Yeah, we've grown up, you know. It's been like, what? It feels like it's been 10 years of mutually awkward, or no, but still feels like it. And we've evolved as people.
Yeah, we're not really awkward anymore. We'll keep the name, but we're not. It's a brand new ball game.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
So, I actually have a Michael's Musings right here. So we'll use it to wrap up the podcast. He hasn't been tweeting a lot lately, so this is from October 2nd. Mm-hmm. Michael's Musings, October 2nd. The dog across the street was barking, and I yelled out the window for it to shut the fuck. And lo and behold, it shut it the fuck up. Then it barked again as I began typing this. And there you go. All right, guys. So this has been Mutually Awkward Podcast. And keep it awkward.
Bye. Change my life. Everyone is telling me to change my life. Oh, maybe I'm depressed. Or maybe I know too much about the world.
Some quality time is gonna make you mine.